reading. Thank you, Alan, very much indeed.
So our first reading this morning is from Acts chapter 2, verses 29 to 41, and can be found on page 1094. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witness of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Alan. And now Claire's going to bring our second reading for this morning.
So our second reading is taken from Genesis chapter 24, verses 42 to 67, and can be found on page 25 of the Pew Bibles. "When I came to the spring today, I said, 'O Lord, God of my master Abraham, if you will, please grant success to the journey on which I have come. See, I am standing beside this spring. If a maiden comes out to draw water and I say to her, please let me drink a little water from your jar, and if she says to me, drink and I'll draw water for your camels too, let her be the one the Lord has chosen for my master's son.' Before I finished praying in my heart, Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder. She went down to the spring and drew water, and I said to her, 'Please give me a drink.' She quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, 'Drink, and I'll water your camels too.' So I drank, and she watered the camels also. I asked her, 'Whose daughter are you?' She said, 'The daughter of Bethuel, son of Nahor, whom Milcah bore to him.' Then I put the ring in her nose and the bracelets on her arms, and I bowed down and worshipped the Lord. I praised the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me on the right road to get the granddaughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will show kindness and faithfulness to my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, so I may know which way to turn.' Laban and Bethuel answered, 'This is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or the other. Here is Rebecca. Take her and go, and let her become the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has directed.' When Abraham's servant heard what they said, he bowed down to the ground before the Lord. Then the servant brought out gold and silver jewelry and articles of clothing and gave them to Rebecca. He also gave costly gifts to her brother and to her mother. Then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night there. When they got up the next morning, he said, "Send me on my way to my master." But her brother and her mother replied, "Let the girl remain with us 10 days or so, then you may go." But he said to them, "Do not detain me now that the Lord has granted success to my journey. Send me on my way so I may go to my master." Then they said, "Let's call the girl and ask her about it." So they called Rebecca and asked her, "Will you go with this man?" "I will go," she said. So they sent their sister Rebecca on her way, along with her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebecca and said to her, "Our sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the gates of their enemies." Then Rebecca and her maids got ready and mounted their camels and went back with a man. So the servant took Rebecca and left. Now Isaac had come from Beer Lahai Roi, for he was living in the Negev. And he went out to the field one evening to meditate. And as he looked up, he saw camels approaching. Rebecca also looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from her camel and asked the servant, "Who is that man in the field coming to meet us?" "He is my master," the servant answered. So she took her veil and covered herself. Then the servant told Isaac all he had done. Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah, and he married Rebecca. So she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Stripped away by the power of his love. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? And to know that we can soar as on eagle's wings. Are you ready to soar this morning? Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises in your word. We pray, Lord, that your word will speak to our hearts this morning for your glory. Amen. It's a real privilege for me to finish this series on the promises that the Lord made to Abraham. And the title for this morning is "Trust in My Promises, The Promise Goes On." If I had to give a subtitle to my talk, I would call it "Well, Well, Well." Not because, just because everything finishes well, but because of the three wells that we have seen in this story with Abraham. The first two wells were with Hagar in the desert, where she was so lonely, desperate. And there in her solitude, the Lord met with her. She had no water, no food, no future. She'd given up, but God saw her, and he met her. And they had a one-to-one, a face-to-face. And even though we're many here this morning, the Lord wants to have a one-to-one, a face-to-face with every one of us. But the third well was a different sort of well. It wasn't a well in the desert. It was a well that had been dug just on the outside of a small town. And there, it was a meeting place, a gathering place for lots of people. The crowds came together in the evening. They enjoyed talking to one another, discussing things. And so we're going to find ourselves around this third well later on. In the story that we heard this morning, it's repeated at least two times in this chapter 24. And I'm going to retell the story to you again, because there are lots of little details that will come out in the story. We're going to see it once again, the faithfulness of God, also the faithfulness and the trust of Abraham. We're going to see the faithfulness of a servant and the trust of a young girl. We're also going to have some insight into Isaac's character. And through the different characters that we see in this text, we're going to have some insight into some of the principles that the Lord looks for in our lives, such as trust and integrity, prayer, worship, thanksgiving, rejoicing, meditation, and last but not least, purity. Because there are some details given in the first part of the chapter that the servant doesn't talk about when he meets with Rebecca's family. So I'd like to start at chapter 24, verse 1. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham with all things. Well advanced in age. We know that he was 100 when Isaac was born, and apparently he is now 140 years old. Sarah is dead, and Isaac now a grown man. Abraham had really come to trust in the Lord after the miraculous birth of Isaac, and after the ram given in as a substitute for Isaac. He had no doubt now in God's promises for a numerous descendants. And God's plans weren't not just for the next generation, but for all future generations. So Abraham was greatly blessed. He was content with what he had. But he still had work to do. And his attention was turned to the future. 140 years old. And he's looking to the future and what he can do to ensure the future. He still had work to do to find a wife for his son. And he was still looking forward to the joy that he would have when that wife was found. At 140 years of age, he couldn't make the long journey on the back of a camel. So he takes his trusted servant, the oldest servant that he has, and we think that it was probably Eliezer, the man that Abraham thought would be his heir before he knew that he would be himself a father. So Eliezer, this trusted servant, is given the job of going to find a wife. But this time, God's plan had to be worked out in God's way. Abraham wasn't to do things in his way. Remember how he and Sarah devised the plan that Hagar should bear him a child. God tells Abraham that the bride must come from Mesopotamia, from the land that he had left. He wasn't to take a bride from Canaan, the land where he had arrived, because this was a melting pot of people who were completely unholy. And the servant doesn't go empty-handed. We know that he's going to go with 10 camels laden with gifts, but he's not going to go alone. There will be the servants. But in chapter 24, verse 7, Abraham gives him this promise that he has received from the Lord. He will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. Is the Lord giving you some direction this morning? We can be sure that if a direction comes from the Lord, he will send an angel to guide us, to keep us. When God directs, God provides. When God directs, God protects. So the servant sets out with his servants and the 10 camels. The camels are needed, all of them, because they're laden down with presents, not just for the future bride, but for her family. And the camel train arrives in Mesopotamia. And the servant has this special mission. So what does he do? There was no WhatsApp at the time, no Tinder, no apps where he could find a bride. He had to have a strategy. Unfortunately, for many of us, when God has given us something to do, we just sit down and wait and let things happen. But the Lord is precise in the way that he deals with us. He is precise in the way that he asks us to work. And he wants us to have a strategy in everything that we do. So what was the servant's strategy? Well, what would you do if you were looking for a wife? You'd go to a place where there are a lot of girls, obviously. Today, it might be a nightclub. It might be the beach. But in that day, it was the well. Because in the evening, the young ladies went out to the well to draw water, but also as well to see their friends, to chat, to have a time of quiet enjoyment. So his strategy, his plan, was to go where he had the best chance of finding a wife. A strategy, not just a vague hope, but a sure, a conviction that the Lord would show him the girl. He wasn't only in a strategic, specific place, but he prayed a strategic and specific prayer. He wanted to be absolutely sure that the person that he set his eyes on would be the woman that the Lord had designated as a future bride. He wasn't going to look at a tall girl, a slim girl, a curvy girl, a beautiful girl. He wanted the conviction that the person he saw was chosen by the Lord. So he asked for a sign. Lord, when I go to the well and I ask a girl to give me a drink, let her also offer to water my camels. This was an impossible task. Can you imagine a young girl drawing water for a herd of camels? It was normal to offer a drink to a stranger, but not for all his camels. And he says to the Lord, please give me success in what I've set out to do. And it happened before he had finished speaking. He prayed to the Lord in his heart. And even before he had finished his phrase, there in front of him was this beautiful young woman called Rebecca. And Rebecca means captivating. But we know that in spite of her beauty and her captivating manner, she was pure, she was a virgin. Will you give me a drink? Of course, and let me water your camels. Apparently, camels drink 25 liters of water, and there were 10 camels. So, maths teachers, please correct me, but I think that makes 250 gallons of water that this young girl has to draw out of the well. She had done over and above what he had asked. This girl was beautiful. She was industrious. She was also humble, because we know that she had servants, but she herself was carrying a pitcher to take water. She was strong, and she was going out of her way to minister. My goodness, don't all you men dream of a wife like that? I'm glad that we don't have any camels, actually. Yes. What does he do? Does he rush over straight away? Verse 21 says, "And the man, wondering at her, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not." He waited. He'd had the sign. He had this inner conviction, but he wanted to know the response of the girl and of her family. She had been chosen, but he was waiting to see what would happen, waiting for the confirmation in the spirit and waiting to see what would happen. And what does she say? First of all, she accepts his gifts. A ring in her nose, golden bracelets. And she says, "Come to my house. We have straw, we have fodder, we have water to drink. Come to my house." And this is where we find the beginning of our text today, starting on verse 42, where the servant will tell this story to Rebecca's family. And her brother and her family hear the miraculous way in which Rebecca has been chosen and found. And they too have an inner conviction. And verse 50 says, they say, "This thing comes from the Lord." They have this conviction. "Take her. The Lord has spoken." May we always wait until we have the conviction that the Lord has spoken. Of course, the family were reluctant to let Rebecca go immediately. They wanted to keep her for a few more days or maybe a few more months. But they said, "Let Rebecca choose." So we see here that Rebecca is in front of a choice to stay a little longer with her family or to follow this servant back to her future husband. And she decides to follow immediately. She was trusting. She made the decision to follow immediately. And she nears the place where Isaac is. And for the first time in this story today, we find Isaac. And what is he doing? He's not out looking for a girl himself. He is praying in a field, meditating in communion with God. He is waiting for his chosen one to come, the one that the Lord has chosen for him. And he took her into Sarah's tent. She had become part of the household. And we learn not only was she going to be the mother of many children and have a numerous descendants, but most important of all, Isaac loved her. She wasn't just something that was to be used, someone to be used as a mother. She was a wife to be cherished and loved. This is what the Lord had chosen for her as well. But she came wearing all the gold, all the bangles, the bracelets, because all the silver and gold that she had received began the part of the transformation of her into Abraham's household. She was carrying the gifts that his father had sent, and she was integrated into Sarah's tent. And she was loved. Is this just another beautiful story with a happy ending? No, because there is another part. Yesterday afternoon, I missed the fun day, unfortunately, because I had a ticket to go and see part three of Downton Abbey. There was episode after episode after episode, and yesterday was the final episode. So I now want to jump to the final episode, not of Downton Abbey, but of our story with the Lord. I'm going to leave this story and talk about another father, another son, and another bride. Who is this father? The father of all. Who is this son? In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, we read, God has spoken to us by his son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Abraham was immensely rich. Isaac would inherit everything. And our Father God, immensely rich, glorious, powerful, makes Jesus his heir. And Jesus is looking for his bride. Who is his bride? The servant in the story of Isaac and Rebekah is a type of the Holy Spirit. And Rebekah is the type of the church. The Holy Spirit is looking for a bride, the church. And the Holy Spirit works in our hearts to woo us, to draw us to Jesus, making us want to know him more, making us want to just to stay in his presence. The church isn't like Rebecca. The church isn't beautiful. The church isn't pure. But the church is loved by Jesus. And when Paul speaks about marriage, he speaks about the union between Jesus and his church, and as he talks about the way husbands should love their wives. And he says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. No, the church is not pure. But Jesus gave his life to purify his church, to sanctify his church. The church isn't beautiful. But two verses later in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, we read that Jesus will present the church to himself as a glorious church, not having a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, but a church that will be holy and without blemish. The Holy Spirit draws us, and Jesus purifies us, and we are called to be loved as Isaac loved Rebecca, and we are called to be beautiful as Rebecca was. We are called to be pure as Rebecca was, not because that is in our nature, but because the Lord has transformed us. Aren't we beautiful? Aren't we loved? What do we do when we feel close to someone? We don't need to speak. And we don't want to rush away. Can we think in those terms when we are with Jesus? So contented in his presence that we don't want to rush away. Just enjoying him and let him come to tell us how much he loves us. I am so sad because so many people often say to me, oh, I tell Jesus how much I love him. I say, how often do you take the time to let Jesus come and say how much he loves you? This is a message for all of us this morning. Jesus says, I love you. I love you so much that I gave my life for you to make you pure, to make you beautiful. And the Holy Spirit has come to woo us. And the Holy Spirit has brought us gifts just as the servant brought gifts from Abraham, and these gifts were the mark that she was going to belong to his family. And the gifts that the Holy Spirit bring us are the gifts that will transform us into full members of God's family. Jesus has a father, our father. And we are sons of God. And the same Holy Spirit that has wooed us to Jesus, we read in Romans 8, says, the Spirit bears witness that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. Isaac would inherit everything from his father Abraham. And Rebekah would benefit from all that inheritance. All that belongs to the Father belongs to the Son. And if we are heirs, we are also co-heirs with Jesus. All that belongs to the Father belongs to the Son, and all that belongs to the Father belongs to us. Transformed from glory to glory. Yes, even the glory. Oh, even the glory is for us. A gift of the Spirit. What is our response? Rebecca had to make a decision. Would she receive these gifts? Would she follow? Would you become a member of that family? For us this morning, will we receive the gifts that the Father wants to shower upon us out of his abundance? Or will we say, no, thank you, quite happy as I am? Oh, wake up. Let's not stay as we are. Not just stay as we were. But let's embrace what the Lord wants to give us today. Ten camels full of gifts, given freely. Oh yes, we have a faithful, generous God who promises things. And 2 weeks ago, I already spoke on this promise of the Holy Spirit that we heard about again in Acts chapter 2. And as the servant waited for the confirmation that Rebekah was the one, Jesus says to his disciples, wait. wait for the realization of the Father's promise. And what is this promise? The outpouring of his Holy Spirit and all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And to everyone, Paul tells us, everyone receives a gift not just for himself, but a gift to build up the church, a gift for the common good, gifts to make Jesus' bride more beautiful, freely offered. Will we receive these gifts with the joy with which they are offered? Imagine Rebecca when she received all these wonderful gifts. But who is this promise for? Is it for everyone? In the text from Acts, the men who've heard Peter preach say, "What shall we do?" And he says, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So, if you have repented, if you have received the Lord's forgiveness, if you have been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not just for certain people. It's for every believer. This promise is for you and for your children, and as many as the Lord will call, even those who are far off. God has withheld nothing back. And at the beginning of chapter 2 of the Acts, we have the vision, that we have the story of the day of Pentecost, how the Holy Spirit came in power with flames as a rushing mighty wind. And we know as well that one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit is water. Water, living water, not a sluggish stream filled with weeds, but a spring gushing out of a well, like the well in Samaria. A spring of living water gushing from our lives, rising and rushing through the desert. Beautiful bride, this is your loving Heavenly Father's wedding present. A fountain of water springing up into eternal life. Rebecca made a decision to follow the servant to her future husband's home. She chose to leave the familiar, the stable environment that she knew. She left all to go to a place where she had never been. She left all to go to a man she had never met. Why? Because of the miraculous way in which she had been chosen. Because of all that she had heard about her, the man who was soon to be her husband. Because of all that she had seen about him in the gifts that he had given her. And isn't it the same for us? We have not yet seen Jesus. Listen what Peter writes in his first letter. Though you have not yet seen him, you love him, because we have received his love, we've received his gifts. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Beautiful bride, receive your wedding present. Amen.